Enemy Radio.
All right, it's the 1st of July 2013. This show is for Friday, the somethingth of July 2013. Something or other. I watched the new Evil Dead movie last night. And it's, I'm not going to say it's crap. It's just, it's all right. Like, it's not amazing by any stretch of the imagination. They've done enough with it to kind of make it different, I suppose. But it's the same bleeding film. Like, it was all right. It was grand. It was whatever, an hour and a half of kind of gore. They had the little kind of Easter egg at the end of the credits with Bruce Campbell doing his Army of Darkness kind of shtick. Yeah, it was all right. It was grand. I watched that movie. I watched loads of movies today. I'll tell you why I watched loads of movies. I watched that movie, Olympus Has Fallen. I watched that today. It's all right. It's just Die Hard in the White House, pretty much. The dude in 300, Gerard Butler, is that his name? He's in a Morgan Freeman, all this kind of nonsense. Yeah, it's all right. I can't remember the last time I watched a movie that actually impressed me, that made me go, Jesus Christ, that was so fucking good. Like, quick, put it on again. Probably maybe the second Batman movie was pretty solid. I'm not going to talk about the third one. I might cry. But I watched, what else did I watch? The first episode of that new TV show, Under the Dome. Interesting. I don't know. I read the book. I'm a big Stephen King fan. I have read the book. And I don't know if you've read the book yourselves, but basically the idea is that kind of one day, the small town, the usual bullshit in New England. I think it's New England. They're nearly always New England. And one day they kind of wake up and a big giant force field, like a dome, has been kind of erected around the town. And there's people on one side of it and there's people on the other. And it's kind of about what people do when they're trapped and kind of all these personalities that clash and bang together. they're going to have to change the ending. The ending of that book is fucking terrible. It's fucking atrocious. I nearly threw the book across the room when I read it. This is from an author who was renowned for his kind of ex machina endings, you know. Like, and then I woke up and it was all a dream. Like, he's a pig for it. As much as I love his fucking books, I love his character development, I love his ideas. But I have to say that fucking I'm turning my volume up, my microphone, I can't hear myself. The ending of Under the Dome in the book is shocking, so I'll be interested to see how they do that. The reason I've been watching loads of stuff is the pub is not open today, and the pub may not be open tomorrow. It will be open again this week. I went in today to, I had a bit of a meeting set up, and I just generally get the pub ready to open. I wasn't due to work tonight anyway. I had band rehearsal tonight. I was in with Skeleton Crew tonight, because we're playing a gig in Thomas House actually on Thursday with Shark Bay, which is Dave Finnegan's band from The Commitments. It was a Mad Micah Wallace, him. He's the gig will be over by the time you hear this, but I'm sure it was grand. I'm sure it was a bit of crack. But I went in today, there was no power. All the emergency lights were on. And I went around, I ran around. And the last time I went in and all the emergency lights were on and there was no power, there was a fucking flood in the basement. So the first thing I done, grabbed a hold of a torch and I ran downstairs. And grand, fine. No fucking leaks, no nothing, it was fine. And ran back up, checked the fuse box, everything was fine. All the trip switches were grand. So I just kind of fucked around for a while just to see if there was something that I could figure out. And no joy. So made a few phone calls, electrician out there kind of now, I think Kev's down there now having a look at it, trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Got onto the electricity company, and they were, I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know what the fuck the story is. We're paid up, but just some bullshit. But to be honest with you, we've been with this company called Energia for the last 2 years, and they're a pain in the arse. We figured out it cost us something like €5 every day, just to stand in charge. €5 a day before we use any electricity. You know what I mean? So that's like £5 every day. Fucking whatever the maths are on that, someone else do the maths on it. 365 days of the fucking year, €5 for nothing. For nothing. That's crazy. So we talked to Airtricity today. Apparently they have good rates for businesses. So we're trying to transfer the account from Energia to Airtricity, and they're looking for a couple of grand of a deposit, whatever. Fucking figure it out. One way or another, we'll figure it out. We have to be open for Wednesday anyway. We've got some stuff. We've got some big, some good events on this weekend. But yeah, that was fucking, so I'm off. I went to band rehearsal, grand, came home. Nothing to fucking do. We're supposed to be working tomorrow night. Don't think that's going to happen. Unless this changeover happens. But I think the way they have to send someone out to change all sorts of madness. Change the, look, read the meter and change some cabling, or I don't know which way it works. So, like, even if they can, like, sign us up to the account tomorrow, we might not necessarily be on their grid, on their network until Wednesday, which is a pain in the arse. But it means I get tomorrow off, Tuesday, so, yeah. Don't worry, I'll fucking, something will pop up that I'll have to do. But yeah, let's play a song. Let's play a Morrissey song. Let's play Something to Squeeze in My School. And, yeah, there we go. Brrr. This rabbit is fucking insane, right? This rabbit, this new rabbit. We kept the same name for the rabbit that fucking kicked the bucket. And the new rabbit has the same name as that rabbit. Squatchy. Obviously Sasquatch. Because it's, you know, it's got big feet, it's hairy, likes to hide. Squatchy. This one's fucking mental. It's just, it's kind of getting used to us now a little bit. It's actually loose around the house. I'm recording from at home. I have all the doors open. I fucking took it out of the cage and it's running around. It's hiding. And don't be surprised if you hear like a big fucking flutter of it running or panicking and coming in, and then just, it's fucking just freaks the fuck out every few minutes. You can't play with it. It's a fucking rabbit. You can't. It's not like you play with it. It's not like you throw a ball, it brings it back, or, you know, can't rub its belly. Apparently, if you rub its belly, it bites you. Rabbits have some sort of inbuilt thing. If you go near their chin or their belly, they bite you. Man, I don't want to get bitten by a fucking rabbit. But, it's a rabbit. Like, it's good crack, but it's fucking mental. It just runs away from you. Comes over and might sniff your feet, but if you, like, move your toe, boom, gone. like a fucking rocket, the speed of this thing. Now I know the first one was definitely sick because it just sat there. Like, there's me thinking that's what rabbits do, and just sat there, you rub it, you know, like a stress relief type of thing. This thing is fucking adds, fucking take years off your life and stress. This one, trying to catch the fucking bitch. She's unbelievable. I haven't seen her eat. I know she's eating because her food's disappearing, but I haven't actually seen her eat. I think she might have a bit of a fucking, some sort of like bulimia or something. She just won't eat in front of anybody. She's shite in front of you. She'll fucking shite in front of you. If you pick her up, she starts shitting. She made, was it 33 balls of shit fell out of her yesterday when I picked her up. Lift her up and literally just bop, 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 bop. Counted them afterwards. And I might have even missed some. 33 balls of shit fell out of it. That's the rabbit. Great phone. So the GameCube I bought the other day, I have it hooked up. I have to say, I never owned the GameCube before. It's fun. I only got one game. I got like Metroid Prime. I've got a first Metroid game I've played since I was about fucking 10. But this is like a first person shooter. And a lot of fun. The problem is I don't have a memory card. And I got onto the second level. The levels are pretty long. I got onto the second level there yesterday, just kind of fucking around with it. And no fucking memory card. No bleeding memory card for the thing. So I had to just kind of knock it off. And I've gotten a memory card on order with Retropolis, where I got this in the first place. Oh yeah, I went into that 3D game shop on the keys today. It's all right, yeah, it's all right. He's got new stuff, like new N64 controllers. Don't know where he's getting them. Still in the pack. There was a kid in there behind the counter. Now, I don't know if he owns it, but it looked about 13 to me. There's loads of games, yeah, GameCube games, Xbox games, PS2 games, blah blah blah. I'll tell you one thing: it's a lovely size shop. It's perfect for that kind of thing. The fucking lighting in it is terrible. Couldn't see a fucking thing. I nearly took the torch on my phone just to see what was going on. It's a little bit expensive as well for some of the secondhand games. Some of them are like, he's obviously gone into eBay and said, oh, you know, whatever, this particular Turok game is selling for 30 quid, so I'm going to sell it for 30 quid in my shop. Yeah, good luck. You'll take that Turok for 30 quid to your fucking grave, which you unfla. You have no hope. Just listen, lash a tenner on each game. Off you go, Bob's your uncle. Now, to be fair, he had some games like $2.99 as well. And this is all part of a 50% off sale, apparently, they're having, like, they're opening. So does that mean in, like, a week or two, he's looking for, like, whatever, 60 quid or something for Turok on the Xbox or whatever it was? No, I think it was GameCube, actually. No chance. They can build your coffin out of those games for those GameCube and Xbox games for 30 quid for you. Save you a few bob, lad. But, yeah, it was great fun. that was my day, walking around. I'd walk from work over to, I'd walk from the house over to work. Sometimes it's nice, if it's a decent day, I kind of walk like an extra long route just so we can hit up the charity shops on Capel Street and see if there's anything worth kind of rooting around for, but nothing today. And like I said, got there, fucking bastard electricity. Every week there's something new. There has never been a week in that pub in 2 years where it's gone fucking smoothly. It's vicious. We got word today as well, Shinnae is closed on the keys. Everyone remembers, it was a big thing about Shinnae. It was about a year ago. Was it a year ago? Maybe less. Where the staff thought everyone was cool. And one day they came in and the boss man turned around and said, you're all fucking sacked. Get the fuck out. And he had sold the lease or the building or whatever onto from what I can make it, it's the son of the guy who owns Yamamori Noodles. And he opened up and apparently it was a little bit more maybe dance music-ish, something like that. But it never really took off. Every time I went, boy, yeah, it was very quiet. And Shania was always busy, but it's been very quiet the last while. So I got word today, I got a text today saying it's closed, just gone. Fibbers on the Keys is completely gone now as well, to the best of my knowledge. So that's pretty much that kind of strip of that's like the Keys, you know what I mean? Like pubs and the Keys, they should be fucking hopping, but no, because people are fucking gobshites and make a bollocks of these places. There's enough nightclubs and bog standard shitholes, the Copperface Jacks and fucking Cristal and all these places for your bog standard fucking rugby short wearing fucking collar turned up arsehole to go to. People need to fucking invest more in the fucking alternative side of things. I'm not saying start fucking punk rock bar, rockabilly bar. Please don't. Jesus, please don't. That's my fucking, that's how it make me live. But there has to be, like, these other musical genres and fucking walks of life have to be catered to, you know? Some more fucking gay bars. How about some more gay bars? Like, every fucking gay bar I walk past is fucking hopping every weekend. Hopping. That is there no room for, like, a gay bar for, like, the older clientele who just want to go and fucking chill out, don't want to get, you know, have to play fucking bingo or whatever they do, you know? Like, is there no fucking bar for that? We used to do a gay night in Thomas House. What the fuck was it called? It was called the Furry Glen, which is disturbing as fuck, because I used to go to the Furry Glen in the Phoenix Park when I was a kid and hear all these stories about it, so they kind of ruined my childhood a little bit. But it was for bears, which fucking apparently are like big, fat, hairy gay dudes who like big, fat, hairy gay dudes. And non-big, fat, hairy gay dudes who like big, fat, hairy gay dudes. Which, again, is grand. It's fucking nothing to do with me. Have fun. But we used to put on this night. It was once a month. And it was fucking mental busy. It was crazy. And it was always, always packed. And it was just, they were a great crowd. They were fucking fantastic. There was no trouble. There was no fighting. There was no fucking, like, aggro. Like, you get some fucking, like, snipey bloke who's being fucking bitchy to maybe one of the bar staff or something like that because he wanted a fucking quadruple vodka and Red Bull, which are legally not allowed to sell, you know, like some shite like that. Or, you know, I asked for my glass of water in a fucking stein, something like that, but nothing that you wouldn't get on a normal fucking average night. But the lads were fucking great and they spent fucking good money, you know. We were able to basically pay the rent with that one night, you know. The music was fucking terrible. It was shocking. It was just, I don't know what it was, just nst stuff, but that's obviously what they wanted. No problems, no trouble. It was a bit of a bitch to get them out late at night, get them to leave. They didn't want to leave. Them lads can go for fucking days. But the weirdest thing I ever seen in the pub was at one of those gay nights where I went downstairs to the toilets downstairs. And I walked in, and there was a guy with his top off, making, like, muscly fucking gestures to himself in the mirror. Big fat dude. Big fat hairy dude. But he had his fucking flute out, and he had, like, a hard-on. I think it was a hard-on. It was pointing up, anyway. In some countries, you could say it was a hard-on. But he was pissing into the sink with his hard on, while making muscly faces and, like, flexing his biceps. And he had a big giant tattoo of a gorilla on his back. And I walked in, I seen this. And you know what, if it was any other night, I'd fucking grab the dude, I'd pull him outside, and I'd tell him he was barred. I was too freaked out. I lost me fucking shit. It was the last thing I expected to see. He was on his own, in the bathroom, in front of the mirror, flexing his biceps, making big kind of monkey faces, with a big gorilla tattoo on his back, with a hard on, pissing into the sink. So I just waited for him to leave. I got a big fucking tub of bleach and rubber gloves and, like, old rags, and I cleaned the shit out of the sink, and I just went upstairs and I kind of said nothing, because how do you process something like that? That shit's fucking disturbing. It'd be disturbing for anybody doing it. But that was fucking torturous. But it was a great night. They were always great nights. We don't do them anymore. The guys who were involved in doing it, basically the way they explained it to us, that kind of the gay crowd are very, they're kind of transient, you know. They pick a place and they'll stay there. That'll be their hunt, you know, for 6 months, 8 months, and then someone will start a new club, you know, and it'll be called something or other, and it'll be in a particular place that nobody's ever heard of, and they'll all go to that, and that'll be their thing then for the next kind of 6 months, 8 months, and then they'll move on to the next place, and they'll inevitably kind of end back in the George or the Dragon or Panty Bar or whatever. I knew somebody who worked in, apparently they used to have, like, lesbian nights in the Tivoli Theatre, and apparently the lesbians are fucking insane. The trouble, there'd be killings at the fucking thing, like girls knocking the shit out of each other and, like, fucking having to call ambulances because they drank so much fucking gargle. Like, they come up and they order, like, 6 shots of fucking Jägermeister and point the stout, and they just bang, 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 throw all the shots down them, down the point of stout, and just stand there and do the exact same thing again. Apparently they were mad for gargling. Never been involved in a lesbian night. We've had lesbians working for us in the pub, We'll never done a lesbian night in there. Apparently we weren't anywhere near big enough, because the crowd that the lads from the 40 Glen brought in, it was a small enough crowd. It was enough of them for air place, both floors. But like, any bigger and it would have looked kind of lost. But yeah, it was great fun. They were fucking mad nights. Like, fuck, I'd love to do it again, actually. They were fun. Good tips. All the lads who worked in the bar used to make sure to wear all their best clothes and like shorts and vests and stuff like that behind the bar. But it didn't matter, because they just had no interest. They had no interest. Unless you're a big, fat, hairy bloke, they had no interest. There was a fellow who used to work for us called Steve, and he was a big, big chap. He's not so big anymore, but he was a big chap. Shaved head, but would have like hairy arms, hairy chest, all that stuff. And he would have always worked behind the bar with, like, you know, the shirt kind of halfway open and the slacks and stuff like that. And they fucking loved him. He cleaned up on tips. One of them gave him €1 for a kiss one night, and he gladly took it. He carries the euro around in his wallet now, calling his gay euro. But he loves it. But let's play another song. Let's play an Adamant song. Here we go. Adamant, Stand and Deliver, off some album by Adamant from years ago. I have some Adamant vinyl somewhere that I kind of inherited from an uncle of mine, but that's fucking neither here nor there. I actually quite like Adamant. Apparently the last gig he played in Vicar Street was okay. The time before that was amazing. But the last gig, apparently he was in the pub handing out fucking tickets to the show because it wasn't sold out. It was a pretty good fucking crowd there, but it wasn't sold out. Apparently he came over and he was handing them out in the pub. I was working, I didn't see him. If I hadn't seen that man in the pub, I would have lifted him up my shoulders and ran around with him, to be brutally honest with you. Because that Stand and Deliver, as far as I'm concerned, is a fucking perfect pop song. It's got a little bit of everything in it, and it's weird as well, which is obviously good. I like weird fucking pop music, like Prefab Sprout and stuff like that. But however, I was talking to somebody today about movies and the process in Hollywood about making movies. And they were giving out to me, because they're involved in movies in the States. They were giving out to me because I download stuff. Now, yeah, I download stuff. Everybody downloads stuff. Somebody who tells you that they don't download stuff is either lying or they don't actually download stuff because they don't know how to download stuff. It's that fucking simple. There's nobody out there who will pay for something if they can get it for free. Unless your morals are fucking airtight. And I don't know anybody that fucking righteous. But I was thinking about it. And I have my own reasons for downloading. Mostly, it's sheer fucking laziness. I just can't be arsed to go and rent something or whatever. I had Netflix before and it was grand, but it just didn't do it for me. It didn't have enough fucking content for the stuff I was interested in. Now, apparently there's a hack for Netflix. You can change the DNS address or something like that and get access to the American library of movies and TV shows, which apparently is a lot better. The only good thing I can say for Netflix is that you can spend hours kind of rooting around. You nearly always find something to watch. But, you know, rarely was it something like, oh, I can't wait for that to come out on Netflix, I want to watch it. It was just, you turn on Netflix and you find something, you watch it, you know, you don't really give a fuck. Now, obviously, if you're an Arrested Development fan, and that House of Cards thing that they put out was decent enough. I watched a few of those. I must actually go back and watch all of them. But they seem to be getting involved now in the actual TV show making end of things. So hopefully they can renew and reinvigorate some old shows that were cancelled before their times and get involved in some original material. But like I said, I do it for my own reasons. I like watching it at my own fucking time. I like watching it in my own house. Every time I've gone to the cinema in the last fucking year, I've met nothing but disappointment. I've had nothing but fucking disappointment. Everything that comes out is fucking shit. Shit. I told you the last time I went to the pictures, it cost me €42.25 or something like that for a couple of bags of popcorn, one Coke, one single Coke, and two tickets. I don't even know what, fucking Superman, was it? Something like that. And I just felt fucking raped afterwards. I felt fucking disgraced. It was shocking. So I just have my own fucking thing now, so I'm going to watch it at my own fucking pace. And you know what? Honestly, if I like it, if it's a good movie, I will fucking buy it. You know what I mean? I really will. I'll buy it on DVD. I don't have a Blu-ray player. I want to get a Blu-ray player, but I need a better TV. I have a flat screen TV, but it's a piece of shit. It's one that's found in a lane. But, so I need a better TV, and I will buy a Blu-ray player, because I've downloaded, like, Blu-ray rips instead of DVD rips for movies before, and the quality is fucking outstanding. But I will buy stuff. If it's good, I'll buy it. There you go, Hollywood. Just for me. If you make good movies, I'll buy them. You know? But for me, it's just, it's like this fucking filter that happens. Where if I feel like if I go onto something like Kick-Ass Torrents or whatever, and I download a couple of movies that I have half an interest in, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Some random bullshit. And I watch it. And then I turn around, or I'm in rehearsals, or I'm in the pub, and someone says, oh, you know, I've heard about this movie called whatever. And I say, I've seen it, it's shy. And they'll go, all right, fair enough. I'm hoping that if I do that enough, then these movie studios, these film studios, will just stop making shite movies. They will stop making shite movies. I invented this thing years ago where I judge movies by how many starving children they could have saved. So, basically, something like Superman, that was just a crock of fucking shit. It was a crock of shit. Now, I'm not saying people's entertainment is more important than feeding fucking children. I'm just saying, like, let's be realistic about it here. The budget they put into that movie was fucking millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, hundreds of millions, to create this movie. And in revenue, it would have made X amount of money. But let's just take, like, its costs for making that movie. What the actors got paid, what the CGI costs, what the location costs were, production costs, editing costs, mastering costs, printing costs, fucking distribution costs, all that stuff. Take that into account. Hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Like, how many fucking starving children would that have found? How many starving children would that have fed? Do you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying let's stop making movies and feed fucking starving children, because that's not what the movie industry is there for. It's there for a different purpose. So, But look at something like Superman or the last Batman movie or The Hangover 3 or whatever. They were so fucking shit that I don't think there's anybody out there who couldn't agree that that money would have been better off feeding fucking children or homing the homeless or fucking drug and alcohol rehabilitation centres, something. They actually would have been better just giving that money away. Just putting it on a big fucking Viking boat on the Liffey, setting it on fire and just letting people have like a bit of crack looking at all this money burning. It would have actually been better. It would have been like more productive to actually burn that shit. You know what I mean? Maybe give it to some homeless people to throw in some barrels so they can stand around it, fucking drink their whiskey, get some heat off it. Like someone would have got something out of it because nobody got anything out of Hangover 3. You know, nobody got anything out of Hangover 2. Got a few giggles out of the first one. The last Superman movie, is fucking this Man of Steel, obviously it's shocking. Like, fuck me. Fuck me. What the fuck are you doing? What the double fuck are you doing? I'm watching this TV show. Apparently it's a cross between some production company and History Channel called the Hatfields and McCoys. And it's Kevin Costner and fucking, what's his name? Bill Paxton, I think. About these guys who come back after the Civil War. And they were kind of friends. They were friends in the same battalion or whatever in the Civil War. And they get back and one of them turns really religious because he had, you know, a horrible fucking experience. And the other one kind of deserted towards the end to look after his family. So they become enemies, so these two families in this little town and in fucking Podunk, fucking Alabama or wherever they are. They become enemies and fight against each other. And, you know, it's all right. It's hard for me, like, being Irish, watching programmes and movies about the Civil War. Just because, like, it's nothing to do with me, you know. Personally, like, I have no vested interest in the Civil War other than, like, it's slightly interesting. Like, the kind of overall, if someone says, you know, and this happened and this happened, they go, yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, and they invented submarines and this match. Oh, yeah, sweet. That's interesting. But, like, watching fucking shit about American Civil War to me is, I'm no interest. It's kind of fucking boring. Not that I have any interest in, like, watching a movie about the 1916 fucking rising. Like, I will. Just because it's my history and it's obviously it's nice to know these things, but for some reason, like, historical fucking TV shows and movies just have no fucking interest. Even that Vikings, that's another, I think it's History Channel or Discovery Channel that are making Vikings. It's all right, you know, it's decent enough. It's I'm not like waiting with bated breath for it to come out every time, like, but when it's out, I download it and I watch it. It's hard on the eyes. I think I talked about this before. They seem to like suck loads of colour out of it. So it's really fucking grim watching it. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand this concept of new entertainment making. There just doesn't seem to be any sort of original ideas floating around out there. And like you see now, they're making all these comic book movies. I talked about this before as well. And again, they've got so much backstory and history there. And, like, these characters have been refined so much over the years. But still, when they go to make the movie of it, they make a bollocks of it. They'll fucking ruin it. Because there's some fucking dickhead who's like, you know, okay, we're going to make a, whatever, fucking Captain America movie or whatever. Pick someone that hasn't been fucking done. Like a Deadpool movie. And Deadpool's been Wolverine, I know. But if they make a Deadpool movie, like, they'll take the character that's really, really, really much loved character. Like, he's just one of those standout kind of weird characters that most people love fucking Deadpool. But when they make a movie about it, I'll fucking guarantee you they'll make a bollocks of it. I guarantee you. Because some fucking dickhead producer or fucking director or whoever, they'll fucking look at the script and they go, oh, what's all this? We don't need all this. But that's the bit that he's cutting out, that all this that he's cutting out is what the fucking person wants. Now, I know he's not necessarily trying to like appeal to the comic book audience, but at the same time, he's making a character, like he's making a movie about a character from a comic book or based completely on a fucking comic book. So who does he think this fucking audience is going to be? If you're dealing with like Marvel Comics characters or DC comic characters, like these are, like, sell fucking millions of copies every week of every month of every year. This is a massive fucking industry. There are millions of people out there who have like standing orders in comic book shops or maybe wait till the end of the year and buy the collected editions. These are characters in comic books that sell millions all over the world. Yet when they make a movie about it, they feel justified in the fact that they can fuck with them. Now, some things they're going to have to fuck with. That's understandable. And there's some things, there's a lot of things that some of these like comic book fans, they will understand. they will completely understand it. Like something like Deadpool, where you don't actually see his eyes. You know what I mean? They have a thing about fucking eyes, you know? And, like, so when they make that thing, you won't see the eyes. To this day, I am fucking shocked that the Spider-Man outfit didn't have real human eyes in it. It still boggles my mind that they actually done that. That each time they made one of those movies and they made the costume, designed the costume, you couldn't see the eyeballs or the mouth move. And to me, that's fucking, like, that's kind of a good sign that there was somebody involved in making those movies that understood it. But at the same time as well, like, I guarantee you, there was a fucking big sit-down meeting there about, well, you know, we're paying this fucking dude, whoever Tobey Maguire's costing us millions upon millions, and we're going to have to, we only have him for, like, fucking 10 weeks to make this movie, and he's a good-looking bloke, and, you know, all the girls like him, and we need him to sell more fucking magazine covers and get him on this fucking, you know, internet article, and so we need, when we make this trailer, we have to have loads more Tobey Maguire in it than we do actual Spider-Man. But maybe if we had the Spider-Man uniform so that he was, you know, didn't have a face, he didn't have it like a hood or a mask, maybe we'd sell more copies of it because more girls are going to see it. I guarantee fucking you that meeting was had. I guarantee you that meeting was had. There's no way in hell that meeting did not fucking happen. So I'm saying with something like Deadpool, if they ever do get around to fucking make that movie, it depending on the actor they get, there's a very good chance that, like, it's just going to be his normal face. It's just a dude. They can put as much armor on him as they want and give him as many guns as they want, but there's a very, very, very good chance that fucking the dude won't have a mask because they want to show off this good-looking actor's face. Fine. Like, whatever. Just, I won't be buying it. I'll watch it. I'll download it. I ain't fucking buying it. And the sooner the better they realize this, that if you're going to be making a comic book movie or a movie based on a book that's, like, fucking loved, you better stick to that fucking program. You stick to the shit that's already there. It's that simple. But anyway, I'm giving out now. I'm giving out. Give out about everything. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't really, not that I'm not happy. I don't, what's the opposite of giving out? You know what I mean? Like, complimenting everybody. That's fucking weird. That's real weird. Like, walking down the road, instead of, like, saying, oh, fucking ground is filthy, oh, it's raining, this is poxy, it's going around, like, you have a lovely smile, I like your shoes, you get a slap. You get a fucking slap off someone easy. But anyway, let's play another song. Let's play some song by some band.
Listen to the music that thinking that, listen that, she said that's that.
Why did nobody tell me that rabbit piss is a luminous yellow / orange / weird colour? Why is it not just like normal piss colour? I just had a fucking heart attack. The rabbit just unleashed the fucking golden fury beside me. And it looked like something that Ninja Turtles are made out of. It's fucking unbelievable. Had to clean that up. And then it looked like she just took a shit for like an hour in the fucking kitchen on the floor. There's just fucking piles of rabbit shit everywhere. I had to deal with that while that song was playing. Not pleasant. I had to look it up. I actually went on to Google there and had a look to make sure that was normal rabbit piss. Thank God for Google. What do people ever do before Google? I don't read books and all, but you can't, like, if there was an emergency, like a rabbit piss emergency, like what just happened to me, and like it's 10:30 at night, the library's not open. You know, do you ring someone, try and get hold of a vet? It's like, what colour is rabbit piss? They charge you for it. Good old Google. Good old Google. But so the Voodoo Lounge on the quay is, a lot of Dublin people will know, will remember the Voodoo Lounge. Voodoo Lounge was like the kind of their place for live music for a long time in Dublin. Every band under the fucking sun played there at one stage or another. Big bands, small bands, medium bands. Some of the best gigs I ever seen in my entire life were in the Voodoo Lounge. But it's reopened. And the two lads running are really nice. I had a meeting with them the other day. And I might be doing a little bit of something with them, whether it be kind of giving them a dig out, getting them kind of off the ground, or whether it's going to be booking some gigs in there. I don't know. But the place looks great, because when it closed down originally, it reopened as a casino. And when it reopened as a casino, I don't know anybody who goes to casinos, so I don't know if it was a good one or a bad one or whatever, but it was a big space for a casino, so I'm not sure if it worked. But I think the guys who had that casino now have moved further up the Liffey towards O'Connell Street, and they have another casino along there. But the Voodoo Lounge, the guys took it over. They're builders originally, so they knew what they were doing. They got in, they made some structural changes. The place looks great, I have to say. They've got a little cafe out the front where the pizza parlour was. It's now a cafe. And looks great. The stage is still in the same place, and upstairs is still there. Upstairs has kind of been converted into its own little bar, so that can be used for like after show parties and private parties. It's got its own bar, its own DJ station. You can have bands up there easy. The whole place is being soundproofed. It's a little bit more self-contained, and it's got back access as well. It's got its own little lane out the back, like it always had. But that's always made a big difference with venues, is having somewhere for bands to actually park their car or pull up and unload. Makes a huge difference. Like I said, the lads are sound, and hopefully I should have some more news on that in a week or two, whether the boys will be having some big gigs up there. Because like I said, they're builders, you know. It's not, the promotions game isn't new to them, and the pub game is new to them. But the place looks great. They've had some good nights there. They've got some weird bands fucking booked in already, even without my help, and that I can't really talk about, obviously, until they're properly announced. But they have some good gigs, and some weird fucking gigs, but not necessarily bad gigs either. I have to say, as one of our reps in the bar would say, them lads is the finest, but they're cool. One of the things I had to do a couple of weeks ago in the pub was, I noticed that loads of the DJs who were playing records, they were using vinyl, they hadn't a fucking clue what they were doing. You know, they had like some bag of shite record player at home. They didn't know how to set it up or use it properly, so they'd come in and they'd start spinning records, and they'd be calling me over every 10 minutes saying, oh, you know, you're fucking, something wrong with your turntables, you know. And those turntables are perfect. I use them all the time in the pub, and play my own records. I DJ off records fucking sometimes, not all the time. At the moment I use the laptop to DJ, because it's just easier to carry around that much kind of music in a bag. But I had to put together a big email and collect email addresses from the DJs and send them on to them. Now, I couldn't just make it exclusively for the vinyl DJs, because some of the CD guys and the laptop guys were getting on me fucking tits as well, because they just didn't know what they were doing. So I had to track down all these YouTube videos and shit like that and send them on to them and say, listen, this is how you set up turntables, this is how the counterweight works, this is how anti-slip works, because they just didn't understand that. If you're using like a home turntable, like a belt drive turntable that has absolutely no settings on it at all, you know, except for maybe like a 45 switch or whatever, they just don't know what they're doing. Another big problem was loads of them didn't have their own needles, and that doesn't make sense to me. If you're calling yourself a DJ and you're going to be playing records and you don't have needles, what the fuck? You don't have needles or headphones. You're showing up to a place that has turntables and no needles or headphones, you know? So, like, I've put my own needles in there, and people have fucking, they've been destroyed. I've put, honestly, 4 or 5 needles in there since we opened, just to kind of have them in case somebody didn't have their own. And they're all destroyed, they're all broken, because people don't know how to use them. So I had to put a big email around to all the DJs saying, listen, we've no more fucking needles, we've no more headphones. You know, we've got slip mats. And like, slip mats are something you should bring as well. You should bring your own slip mats. But these guys just haven't a fucking clue. They're just making up as they go along. And it just doesn't bode well for the future, really, does it? If you're these guys going around from like bar to bar, I'm a DJ, they have turntables, I only play vinyl. You're like, okay, Jesus Christ. And if you don't have, if some pub doesn't have record players and they buy them in or whatever, these guys show up and they're like, yeah, okay, where's the needles? Where's the headphones? Where's the slip mats? Fucking, you what? Like, that's considered software. That's, you know, they're fucking consumables. You get through those. You should have those in your bag. You should have 3 needles, 2 normal and 1 backup. That's bog fucking standard. Same with CD DJs. You bring your own headphones. Bring headphones. And don't show up with a big wallet full of fucking CDRs that you burned like a year ago that you've just been thrown around or scratched to bits. So when your CDs start skipping and they're fucked and everything sounds fucking horrible, don't be blaming the fucking the mixer or the CD players. It's your fucking fault. You know, you're not bringing the right gear. If you're a DJ, you have a good selection of fucking, like, both albums, singles, and compilations. So you can fucking play to the crowd. Like, I've seen guys show up with the tiny little fucking, you know, 12 CD wallets with, like, just all CDRs that they burn, like, random mixes. They've got, like, 1 song from 1 band. So they've got, like, they're only carrying around the hits, you know. It's, they're basically a walk and talk and fucking, now that's what I call music. That's what it is. If you have to have a selection on you. You have to have stuff you like, and you have to have stuff that people like. And you have to attract people into the stuff that you like and you think they'll like by playing stuff that they do like. This is the fucking objective of being a DJ. It's not just playing the shit that people want to hear and expect to hear, but by throwing something in there that they may not have heard in years or may not have heard before. Like, your job as a DJ is to open people's minds up to new music while making them happy. So, these people are fucking insane. They're fucking insane. But anyway, like, I've just been giving out now for an hour. Today's show is going to be a little bit short. It's going to be about 10 minutes short. Maybe less than 10 minutes. But that's beside the point. Just because I've got some shit to do. I have to cook some dinner. It's that simple. It's 20 to 11 on the 1st of July. It's July now. Holy shit. It's nearly Christmas, lads. Woo-hey. But yeah, I'm going to play one more song to lead us out with. It's going to be a surprise song. So it is. It'll be a surprise song. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But you know it. Everybody knows this song. It's a famous song. It's off now. That's what I call music. Fucking 17 million and 2. But anyway, this has been Enemy Radio. Thank you very much. Enemyradio.eu. Enemyradio@radioactiveinternational.com is the email address. And obviously you can get us at radioactiveinternational.com as well. Enemyradio.eu is just a shortcut to our page on there. So iTunes. We're on iTunes. We're on the podcast app on iPhone. And there's a Radioactive International app for Android as well. So you've no excuse not to be listening to all these fucking great shows. And hopefully, as I said before, I think the 13th of September, there's going to be a big, giant Radioactive bash in Thomas House. And we'll be broadcasting live. And it looks like DJs, some of the international DJs, are going to send over like a 10-15 minute set via the interwebs. And we're going to play that on the night as well. So even if you're not there, you can have your set played. So make sure to get in contact with Donald or Joe and send them on your mixes, and we'll try and figure out a way of getting them played on the night there and then. We may even try and hook up. I'd like to hook up some sort of video feed to the internet. That'd be fun. But yeah, here we go. Mystery song. You know it. Everybody knows it. It's one of my favourite songs of all time. It's stupid, but doesn't mean it's not fucking good. But anyway, I shall talk to you again on Wednesday. And as always, get in contact with me and let me know if you want to hear something or you want to hear me talk shite about something. Radioactive, see you after.